Well, let's go through the New Testament today. Do you remember it, Mrs. Huber? Matthew, Mark, Luke. I haven't heard it in a while. Here we go. Let's see if we got it. Here we go. Ready? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Acts and the letter to the Romans. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, First and Second Peter, First and Second Third John, Jude and Revelation. Nice. Let's do it one more time. I'll come around. It's okay. A little bit faster if we can remember it. Here we go. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Sorry, brother. Letter to the Romans. First and Second Corinthians, Galatians and Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, First and Second Thessalonians, First and Second Timothy, Titus and Philemon, Hebrews and the book of James, First and Second Peter, First and Second Third John, Jude and Revelation. Woohoo! Thank you, Mrs. Huber. That was, I felt like an old song you knew from childhood, but it's just coming, it was only a couple of weeks ago. Now let's get out, if you have it with you, the Practical Christian Living, the last week's book that we finished up. I'd like to go through the answers to the quiz pages in the back. The first question, we finished this book last week. This next week, today and next week is our last week, and then we're starting two new classes. There's a sign-up sheet for ladies out on the welcome table. There's a book that goes with a ladies' class that's going to be starting, and then Brother Kopczewski, is it The Whole Life or Highlights From? What are you calling it?
Elijah, Serving God in the Ups and Downs.
So that's the other class that's going to be available. So I think, is it going to be just guys and girls? I thought is what Pastor was talking about. He'll probably announce all the details this morning. But I think it's going to be ladies in one room, men in the other, but I'm not 100% sure on that. That was an idea that was getting tossed around. But here we go. Going through the quiz here. If you have the answers there, if you know it, you can shout it out or raise your hand. Number one, our life should show blank that the Holy Spirit now lives within us. Evidence is the word. Evidence, but changes the same idea. That the Holy Spirit lives within us. There's a couple verses. 2 Corinthians 5:7 is a good one for that. Number two, our lives should focus on a blank to please God rather than the flesh. It's a willingness to please God rather than obey the flesh. Rather than obey the flesh. Number three, list two reasons why we can no longer do whatever we want to do. A, because forgiveness through salvation is not a license to sin. God forbid. And a verse there, Romans, got a few. They're in the booklet if you'd like to copy them down. Because our choices, whether to sin or obey God, have personal consequences. There are consequences to sin. Saved or lost, sin has consequences. Our behavior is continually blank seeds and will always blank what we have planted. Our behavior is continually... planting. And will always blank what we have planted. It's in the book, everyone.
I don't want to cheat.
You're not cheating. We're studying together. It's not a cheat. It's not a quiz. You're not getting a grade. But we do want to use it, all right? So, I'm sorry? So what's the answer? Thank you, Mrs. Baer. Way to put in the work. I really appreciate it. all right, so if we flip back,
The page number 3 at the bottom is the answer there. Our behavior is continually planting seeds and will always produce. The idea is reap and sow. That's the principle behind it. But our behavior is continually planting seeds and will always produce what we have planted. All right, on to the last page of the booklet. Number 5. List 2 reasons why we need to recognize there are activities and relationships that should be avoided. Because we will give account for our, what, at the judgment seat? Our lives. Go on to number B, letter B. Because biblical separation is, and, woo, by God, like singing deep and wide. Because biblical separation is, it is commanded. It's not just an option that we have. It is commanded and commended. Commanded and commended. God commands it and he blesses it. He recognizes it. And there's several verses listed there under point 2 on page number 4. 6. List 6 questions. Why we should ask ourselves to determine whether or not what. List 6 questions we should ask ourselves to determine whether or not our activities and relationships are right. A. Will it bother my conscience? Letter B. Would I be blank if Jesus were to return while doing this? Embarrassed. We don't want to do anything that would bring shame to the Lord. Am I being brought under the power of something that should not be controlling my life? D, does it build up and help others? This is an encouragement to other people. If another Christian saw me do this, would it hurt them? You could hurt, offend, damage. We never want our actions. If we have liberty to do something, we also have the liberty to not do it in order to not cause damage to the body of Christ. And F, would this cause an, what type of person? Unsaved, or yeah, a lost person. Would it cause an unsaved person to reject Jesus Christ? Our goal should constantly to bring people towards Christ, never push them away from Christ. Right? We'll go on to the next booklet here today, Judgment Seat of Christ, our last one we're going to study together before the new session starts. Good to see you, Brother Faulkner. Your wife gave some testimony of the family feeling better. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. It's good to have you here. Did anyone not get one? Does anyone need one? I have a few extra still. Did I give one to everyone? All right. Judgment Seat of Christ. Jumping right in to page number 2, the opening paragraph. If you want to take your Bibles, we're going to go over to Romans chapter number 14 to start this morning. As a loving father, God wants to reward his children. There will come a day when God will reward each one of us for our words, actions, and motives. That day is at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to turn and read what the Bible says about it in a little bit later on here in the study. But Romans 14:12, let's go there to start. Romans 14:12, the saved and the lost will stand before Almighty Christ, will judge his church, and God will judge all the saved and the lost at the final judgment, the white throne judgment. Romans chapter 14:12, a verse, short verse, it was actually a memory verse for the last booklet as well. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Everyone will stand before God and give account for the deeds that they have done in their life. Now, we'll get into this, but as a kind of an overview, we do not answer for our sin debt if you're saved. God has forgiven. That is forgiven through the blood of Jesus Christ. So you're no longer paying for the penalty of your sin. You're no longer answered for those sins. Those sins have been forgiven, covered in the blood. You're justified, sanctified, and holy with the righteousness of God in your life if you're saved. Praise the Lord for that. That is such a blessing. That part you don't have to worry about. But there is still the doctrine of, you could even put in this kind of stewardship, builds into this same idea of our lives as Christians have, our actions can please Christ or as we just kind of did that list in the last booklet, take away from our ability to please the Lord. Because we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It goes on to say, the judgment seat of Christ will be when God reveals the full value of our works. God promises to reward us on that day for the good things we do in partnership with him today. One of the things that makes our lives so precious is the brevity of it, especially if you're talking about a God who can see all of eternity. That's an amazing thought that I think this is just me now. We stepped outside of Scripture for a moment. But a God who sees all eternity looks at the 70, 80 years that we get, and I mean, what a speck that must be. And for us to use that little speck that we have, as this is our unique opportunity and only opportunity to please God with our own free will and of our own volition. And if he can see all of it, and he knows we will exist for eternity if you're saved. Eternity, we will be with him. But this is our chance now. And to use this little bit of time that we have, this small window in the scope of eternity, and invest it into pleasing our Savior and pleasing our God. And that is what God is going to judge us for. The judgment seat of Christ is what we did for him. It's not a judgment of condemnation, it's a judgment of reward. Just last night, as we were at our house, my wife made some new little spreadsheets for household duties for the kids. And they've been going through them this last week. And this was the first week they added up all the check marks they got, and they were rewarded for their efforts. The kids got about $2.30-ish was for most of them. Anna got a little bit more because she helped me do a big project out on the porch, organize all the stuff I'm supposed to be selling. And so we got all that stuff set aside, but you know what the goal of that was? It wasn't, this isn't what you didn't do. This is how you failed. This is how you let me down, and now I'm disappointed. No, here's the reward for the things that you did do. And I believe that is what the judgment seat of Christ will look like, where the things that we didn't do in the right way, we'll see here, just burned up and consumed. Now here's the rewards for the things that mattered. I don't believe God's going to go down a list of all the opportunities we missed. Remember back in 1984, at 3 a.m., when you were supposed to pray, and you didn't. Check. Here's check, and just crossing things off. Oh, here! Finally, we found one good you did. Here's your reward. Now let's keep going. I don't think that's what it's going to be like. Just the things that were done for self and for the vain, those will be consumed. And here's the reward for the things that you did. It's kind of an overview of what we're talking about here. Let's jump into it. What is the judgment seat of Christ? This is a doctrine that might be a little bit more obscure for some of us versus prayer or the Word of God, some of the things you might already know. The judgment seat of Christ is getting a little bit more specific when we talk about the Bible. So what is the judgment seat of Christ? It is not for the lost. The judgment seat is when believers, saved, will give account to God for their works. It is not a place where we stand to figure out if you're saved or lost. It's not a place where the lost will be condemned or judged to hell. It's a place for Christians. We're already in Romans chapter number 14. Let's look at verse number 10. Romans 14:10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then verse number 12, we read, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Scripture here is saying, why are you worried about judging your brother? They're going to stand before Christ. Christ will judge them. Whether that work has value, whether it's done in truth, not you don't need to worry about that. Christ will do that, because we're all going to stand before that judgment. That is for believers. Number two, the judgment does not determine my eternal destination. The finality of eternity is not determined here. For 1 Peter chapter number 2, 1 Peter 2, let's turn over there. I'm going to read a couple of these passages here. 1 Peter chapter number 2. First Peter 2, verse number 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, speaking of Christ, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. That second verse tells us that we are specifically speaking to saved. those who are Christians. And he's telling us here that he already bore our sins in his body. And now that we are dead to sins, those sins, as I kind of said in the introduction, are already paid for. The Lamb has been sacrificed, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And there are so many verses that talk about how we are free from sin. We're free from the bondage of sin. We're free from the penalty of sin, the righteousness of God, the justification, the imputation of the holy of God's righteousness in us. There's no doubt that sin has already, that account is settled with God. At the moment you get saved, that account settled. And we will not answer for those sins before God. John chapter number 10, verse number 28, just a reminder verse here. John 10, 28. Our eternal destination is decided when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior or reject Jesus Christ as our Savior. And the moment you take your last breath is the last moment you had to make that decision. I went to Romans. Who's there? Jay, could you read John 10, 28? Once again, just reinforcing the idea that our salvation is secure. Once you're saved, you're in the hand of God. I was just teaching eternal security up in Spanish church, and we have the indwelling Holy Spirit within us on salvation. Christ says in that passage that we are in his hand, and then he also says we're in the Father's hand. So we have the Trinity of God kind of sealing our salvation in the Holy Spirit as the seal that's within us. In the hand of Jesus Christ, in the hand of God, nothing will take us out of that. So never doubt your salvation. If you know you've believed, and it's eternal. What sin can you commit to lose your salvation if all your sins are forgiven? Are all my sins forgiven except for one I can do? Is it just for past sins, but God doesn't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, so that sin isn't forgiven, and if I do that one, then I lose the forgiveness for all the other ones? No, when sin is forgiven, our sin is forgiven. All the sin that we have. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Jesus already suffered all the punishment for my sin on the cross. I do not have to fear judgment for my sins, because I know Jesus took all my penalty for me. There are many denominations that mess this up, and it causes doubt in people. That there's a constant effort to have to be working for my salvation, preserving my salvation, regaining my salvation. It's also a form of control. If you don't do, then you might lose your salvation. If you don't come to service, can't guarantee it. Might be some extra time in purgatory. If you're not paying your tithes, who knows what's going to happen when you go to the... And it's a control. It's a weapon that's used against people. We have liberty in Christ. Now, with that liberty comes your personal responsibility to live holy, to live righteous, to seek after God, because you could say, well, I accept, I believe, and now I'm just going to go do what I want eventually here down the road. I'm saved, I'm good. But as we studied at the Practical Christian Living, these two kind of tie together, that your lifestyle, your decisions have consequences, both practically here and now, and they will at the judgment seat of Christ in what we lose when we get there. Yes, Brother Frank, did you have something?
Either 100% sure or you're 100% lost. Mm-hmm. There's no in between. It's 100% one way or 100% the other way.
Yes, sir. God doesn't do a partial work in salvation. You're saved and it's forgiven, or he didn't finish it. And he said, it is finished. The work is done. Amen. Revelation chapter number 20 tells us, let's go over there, about the great white throne, the second judgment we see in Scripture. That's kind of its own study, but just to distinguish between the two, let's go look at it for a moment. Revelation chapter number 20, this is in eternity future, well, not quite in eternity future, but in the future, when all, the small and the great, will stand before God and will be judged. This is before God himself. It's not called the judgment seat of Christ. This is called the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse number 11. I was encouraging, it was an encouragement to me to think about our salvation and that it is complete in Christ, and it's not determined by our works, it's not determined by our faithfulness to God after salvation, because, or in our, this is what I was really trying to tell them in a section that was about our memory of the day. Some people doubt, as your memory might fade and you lose details of what happened the day you got saved, did I believe? I'm not sure. I can't remember. Sometimes this happens to children. In the moment, they might be passionate and truly believe and with a heart full of faith, call out to God, and as they grow, I just don't remember. And I would never say to a child, no, you already are saved, just trust me. If they have a doubt, I always told my kids, if you ever have a question about salvation, you don't, any doubts, always talk to us. There's never like, no, you were saved, just leave me alone, okay? That's already taken care of. Now let's talk about it. Let's see, do you believe these things? But there's on the other end of it, now I'm getting nervous, one of these days I'm just going to forget what happened. I remember some of it, of being in church and praying and ask Christ to save me, but that whole memory one day might fade from my brain. Does that mean I'm not saved? No, our salvation isn't tied to our faithfulness after. It's not tied to our memory of the day. It's not tied to incredibly specific words we said that day. It's faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And once God saves you, you are saved. And praise the Lord for that. Revelation 20, let's look at this judgment here. Verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. This is not a Savior looking at the people he saved. This is God Almighty finally bringing judgment for sin on the entirety of creation. This is the final judgment for sin. You see God's presence here, that heaven and earth are trying to flee away. No one wants to stand before God when he's God in judgment. And there was found no place for them. There is no escape from this judgment. Everyone will stand before him and give account. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That is going to be an incredibly tragic day when all stand before God and the lost are condemned to the lake of fire. That is the judgment at the great white throne. And praise the Lord, if you're saved, your name is in that book of life, amen? And you don't got to worry about that day. It's still going to be a sad day because there's going to be a lot of pain and suffering. It's not a coincidence that in the next chapter, verse number 4, tells us that God shall wipe away all tears. I think that's going to be a sad, tragic day for everyone that's there. But that is God's final judgment. And praise the Lord, if we are saved, we don't have to stand before that great white throne in fear and wonder, because the sin debt has already been settled. Number 3, it is a day of rewards and disappointments for believers. Revelation 22:12, just go over a chapter there. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. You know, they have an expression, just do what you love as your job. Find what you love to do and do it. But most people don't end up in that kind of position for their whole life. And a lot of people have jobs because they're just, I am here because I get paid. And if I didn't get paid, you would never see me again. I'm here for the reward and the reward only, the compensation. A Christian doesn't have that attitude or shouldn't have that attitude. Yes, the Bible promises rewards. I was just discussing with my daughter the other day in the car. We don't know much about eternity and heaven. But we know there's stuff going on. The Bible talks about government and judging And there's why do I have a mansion if I'm just around the throne? There's a feast that's going to take place. There's a lot that's going to happen in heaven. It's not just going to be all of us gathered around God's throne for all of eternity just worshiping Him. He would be worthy of that. But He created man in the beginning to walk with Him in the garden and have fellowship with Him. And God wants to restore us to that place of fellowship with Him. And I can't tell you what's going to happen in eternity, but there's going to be a lot. It's a long time, and there's a lot happening. It might just sound boring to kids. What, am I just going to worship God all forever? No, I don't think so. I think there's... I don't know what we're going to do. But God has made this creation. Man, marriage feast is in there. We're going to eat. I hope so. That's enough. Free food, I'm in. That's enough. Yes, Ms. Faulkner. I'm telling you, there's a lot happening. I mean, sometimes when we get to preaching, I'll include myself in this sometimes. Just, man, I'm going to spend the first 1,000,000 years just around the throne worshiping God. I don't know if God's going to sit there 1,000,000 years and wait for you to worship Him for that long. You'll have all of eternity. There'll be times of worship, I'm sure, but there's going to be things going on as well. So the reward has some kind of significance. The Bible isn't super clear what you would do with a reward in eternity. There's the mention of casting crowns at Christ at the throne, and that's about it that I see. I'm not an expert in end times studies, but what do I do with a reward in heaven? There's got to be something that happens up there. But anyway, we do see that when Christ comes, He does promise a reward, and I hope in our hearts we don't serve because I'm going to get rewarded, so I'm going to keep working. I'm just going to earn more. It's like a job as a Christian and checking off how many hours of service you've done and how many good deeds and how many souls you led to the Lord because you're hoping to get a nice fat bank account in heaven. That's not how we should serve God. We serve God out of a heart of truth and love and faithfulness to Him. And that's the works that count when we serve the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Let's go over there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Brother Lauk, when you get there, would you mind reading 2 Corinthians 5:10?
Yep.
Just give us a 1 second. Let everyone get over there. All right, go ahead, brother.
For we must all appear for the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad.
It says here primarily the judgment seat of Christ is an event that will reward believers for what they did for Christ and why they did it. The next section digs a little deeper. Let's go over to chapter number 3. This is chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. We're really close there. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 3. How will believers be judged? What's the standard when I stand before Christ? What is He going to be looking for? Is it the quantity I've given? Is it the time I've invested? This gives us a little window into it here. 1 Corinthians 3, let's start in verse number 11. It's all written in the book there, but for... other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, what is the foundation?
Jesus.
It is you're building in your works and service for Jesus Christ. And that work begins upon the moment of your salvation. You can enter that workforce as a Christian now to work for the Lord. What are we trying to build on it? The verse goes on to say, if any man build upon this foundation... one more note, it's important that it's for Christ. It's not for me. The work that is invested here is done in the name of Christ and for the honor and glory of Christ. If it's work to benefit me, then I'm not building up Jesus Christ. But what we build is gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because... it shall be revealed by fire. There's no hiding or tricking or maybe I'll get away with it. No, every man's work is going to be revealed. Just like at the great white throne judgment, no place to hide from God. When you stand before Christ this day, he knows. The thoughts and the intents of the heart are revealed by the word of God. Jesus Christ, and that is the Word of God in our lives speaking to us. There's no hiding from this. It shall be made manifest. The day shall declare it. It shall be revealed by fire, and fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. So there is the promise of a reward for our works, as long as it, what's the two qualifications there? In verse number 14. It has to abide. It has to last. It has to survive the fire. It's no coincidence when we see the word abide. What does Jesus Christ say about himself? Speaking of fruit. Does anyone know the verses? That's it? Yeah. I don't know the reference. I was hoping somebody had it memorized. If you abide... Someone looked and Google it for me real quick to find out what it is. Yeah, it's in John, I'm pretty sure. John 5, 14? What did you say? 15. John 15. I thought of it last night and I never added it to my notes. John 15. The true vine. Here it is. Verse number 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. And it goes on, it uses that word several times throughout the thing. Verse number 7, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Abiding, the work needs to abide. And to have works that abide, we need to abide in Christ. Amen. And that's where the true work is done. Not through our strength, not through our motives and our efforts, but through Jesus Christ. Now, he uses us in our strengths and efforts, but remember, it's all for his honor and glory, because that's the second qualification, is that it's, once again, it's built on that foundation, the foundation of Jesus Christ. He shall receive a reward. Going back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 15, if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Your salvation is not dependent on this judgment. We're not doing more good than bad, and if enough lasts, then God's going to let me into heaven. There's not St. Peter at the gate checking our works to see if we make it through the pearly gates into Jerusalem or not. This is a work of reward or loss, this judgment. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. And the next verse, it's not in the book here, but know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? That work, our bodies are the temple of Jesus Christ that are involved in this work. And you can't, as far as our practical Christian living, a holy life can produce eternal value, eternal rewards in Jesus Christ. I can't have a temple that's defiled by selfishness, worldliness, carnal pleasure, and then, oh, now I'm going to do something for the Lord. Let's go back and forth a while. No, the stuff that remains is the stuff that's done through a life of consistency and a temple that's dedicated to the work of the Lord. Yes, sir? Mm-hmm. There is a, there's a desire, I hope, in every Christian, every one of us, to please God. And when we work for the Lord, there, you do get something from that. I mean, you get the joy of the Lord to give, that is the strength to do this work. You get to see the fruit of the efforts. And it's not that I have to feel miserable at the end of my day serving God or it was for me. No, you should get joy. You should be content. You should see fruit of effort that's put in. It's not that I have to, like self, what was that, when they're just whipping themselves as they walk up, they're crawling upstairs on their knees, so they're suffering for Jesus to earn this reward. You don't have to do that. There is a joy and a personal reward that comes in the service of God. But you know your heart when you set out to do something, or when you're in the middle of something. Say there was an opportunity right after service today, hey, can someone vacuum the sanctuary? And my thought is, oh, I'd love to serve God. I can do that. Now, if halfway through the job, Brother Faulkner walks up and says, you know, thank you for doing this. What a great job. Praise the Lord that you serve him. And then for half a second, I think, I am doing a good thing. No, I think if I think that for a minute and then you just go back and this is for the Lord and you get back to it, I didn't lose that. It's gone now because there was a... Or he gave me my reward here on earth, so I don't get a reward in heaven by saying, good job. No, I'm doing the work for the Lord. I'm focusing on serving the Lord. That counts for the Lord. So we are, be in battle, though, against your flesh as you serve the Lord. Just because it's a work for the Lord doesn't mean your flesh can't get involved in it and destroy it and corrupt it. If I stand here and teach and I do it in the wrong spirit, the wrong heart, for the wrong motives, although I'm teaching the Word of God something good, something that might be a blessing and a help to others, I can corrupt that work for the Lord in my own heart. And you know your heart. You're the only one who's going to know your heart when you serve the Lord. But I want to encourage you, serve the Lord. Sometimes it might be done in the wrong heart, and you have to check yourself and ask for God, I'm sorry I was thinking that way while I was doing it. I'm sorry I felt that way. I'm sorry I got a bad attitude halfway through it. It's not then, so I guess I just won't do anything. No, keep going. Just set your heart right and keep serving the Lord. He is worth our service. My kids, I ask them to do stuff knowing that job probably isn't going to get done the way I would do it. Fold the basket of laundry. The pants and shirts don't come folded quite as nice as I would fold it, right? But God knows who we are, and he still asks us to serve him. And I encourage you to serve the Lord. If you find yourself in a bad heart, maybe after teaching the Sunday school class, and you're just, oh, this was horrible, I'm so exhausted, I don't know if I ever want to do this, and I don't know why, and the kids were talking, why don't those parents teach their kids better so they behave better in class? Well, then, as soon as the Holy Spirit convicts you about that, say, Lord, I'm sorry, I got off track, I get to teach these kids the Word of God, help me be the best teacher I can be, and guide them in their life, and go forward with the Lord, and keep going in his work. Now let's go on here. I want to finish this section here before the class ends today. 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, verse number 5. Next chapter, 4 verse 5. Let us therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who will bring it, I can't read this morning, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then shall every man have praise of God. Christ will judge. He'll sort it out. It's not our job to determine who's serving in what heart and whether or not they're doing it for the right reason. We encourage people to serve the Lord. God will sort it out in that day. And we'll be judged based on our works. Christ will reveal those things. Next page, page number 4. I want to get through point number 2 here today. God is looking for what is valuable to him. To him, God is interested in the sincerity of our Christian service. Our motivation for serving others should be to please God and show our love for him. The works God approves will remain like gold, silver, and precious stones. There is, Christ warns his disciples about the Pharisees, about how they give and about how they pray. You remember those? They pray out on, They pray out and open, so everyone hears their illustrious prayers. And God says, no, go pray in secret. They give out, so others can see. He says, no, don't let your left hand know what the right is doing. They make themselves look like they're fasting, like they're just maybe physically exhausted and suffering, because they're seeking a reward. Do the right things. Give, fast, pray. But we do those things for God, not for others. And he says, verily, they have their reward. That glory of men is their reward. I want Christ to be pleased and get a reward from him. Number 2, it is possible to lose expected rewards. We already read the verse. Let's just look at verse number 15. Verse number 15 again of chapter number 3. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. There is a loss that'll happen that day. As Brother Frank was just saying, you might think, I was saved 50 years, working hard, just busy all the time, but what if it was done for Christ? And you know each day, is each action, each work you do for the Lord is a day to analyze your heart. Am I doing this for God's glory or for my own? Am I doing this as a job or a duty? Or am I doing it because it pleases my Father? And let's make sure in our own hearts and minds that our actions, our motives, are sincere before God. Not because, oh, I can't wait till I get there and I get this massive reward someday. Remember, we serve Him because we love Him and because He's worthy of our service. If you get a reward at the end of the day, well, that's a fantastic day. Sometimes I will, I talk about my kids a lot because that's just where I am in life, and I'm around them all the time, I will have them work with me sometimes, and I'll tell them, hey, we're going to go split some firewood and stack it. And they come help, and depending on how they work, I don't tell them this, but depending on how they work, they might get a reward at the end. And if I have to fight with them, and they're complaining the whole time and asking every 2 minutes, are we done yet? They don't know it, but they lost the reward. I just want to be pleasantly surprised when I get to heaven. I don't want to try to expect anything and imagine what's waiting for me there. I just want to serve the Lord faithfully. And if there's something, a reward waiting for me there, what a blessing. But the work is still worth it if there's a reward or not. All right? Yes, brother? Oh, definitely not. Yeah. Yeah. When the scripture refers to the heart, it's the core of who you are. It's the innermost thoughts, desires, motives. That's what the heart is. And make sure you check here your memory verses. I haven't been pushing you too hard. Maybe I should push a little harder. Memorize some of these verses. There's a list of four. If you could pick one this week, I'd like to see next week who knows it. So I'll be asking, because it's our last week of class. And we'll finish up the book, and we'll finish up our class together here, going through some of the basic of the Bible and the Bible doctrines. We'll sing the Old and New Testament books of the Bible and finish up the book. So I look forward to seeing you next week. We have service here in a second. Remain faithful to God. Keep serving Him. And there will be a reward for our efforts someday. Praise the Lord for that. And then let's pray, and we'll close up class here today. Brother Haight, it's good to have you here today. I'm glad you guys were able to come up and visit. You're staying through? Not this week, then, so we get you for one more Sunday.
No.
This Thursday? Oh, so this is... Well, that's not... It's not that bad here.
No. Well, she wants to...
Okay. Your grandma to a lot of kids here. My son and daughter have a birthday party in February. That's what I'm saying. All right. All right. Would you please pray and dismiss us, Amen?